But he was most beautiful, and then he was turned into a serpent. The serpent came up to Eve and said, Eve, don't you believe that man. Don't believe that sky god. The day you eat that tree, you're going to be like God. He don't want you to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat of it, you'll be just like the gods. You'll be just like Elohim. Elohim. You'll be just like the gods. Remember, Genesis doesn't call God. It refers to gods, extraterrestrial beings, more than one god. So anyway, she said, oh, is that so? So she goes and eats the tree. Now, God said, the sky god said, the day you eat, you'll surely die. Who told the truth? The serpent told truth, because they ate and she got her eyes open. They went back and went to bed and they had two children. And they lived a long, long life. And then they had Cain, they had Abel. And Cain slew Abel with a jawbone of an ass or something of that sort. It's not very clear in the King James Version. Now, I know somebody want to twist it and say it meant Abel. But anyway you go, it's going to be dirty. If God made a brother and sister have children, that would be wrong. And if a brother and sister had children, it wouldn't be very many generations until you would have had all sorts of genetic damage. A brother and sister goes to bed, there'll be visual damage, there'll be physical damage. If a brother and sister has a child, there'll be all kinds of feeble-mindedness and physiological harm. So, honey, let's just accept it like it was. It's full of baloney. When Cain killed Abel, there was only supposed to be two children and two parents. But Cain went someplace and got a wife in the land of Nod. Now, if Abel had been the sister, why would he have had to go to the land of Nod? If it had been to his own sister, you see, what would be the point? His sister's dead, remember. He killed Abel, or Abel. Abel's dead. He killed him. Before marriage, before anybody was born. It says after he murdered him, he went to the land of Nod and got a wife. So you see, you can't make that old Bible anything more than it is. The slave runner's tool to keep the poor people down and keep the boot on the back of the oppressed. What you got to say, say it to me. I know your thoughts. Say it to me. I sit up here, I know thoughts. You got any thoughts, say it to me. I don't mind. I don't mind being disagreed with whatsoever. But you, if you can deny what I just said, do it. Otherwise, throw aside these weights that beset you. Throw aside religion. The reason America has not freed itself of racism, the reason the women in America only make half the salary of men, is because of the Bible. The Bible is the root of all of our problems today. Racism is taught in it. Oppression is taught in it. Otherworldliness is taught in it. If the Bibles would disappear, if religion would disappear, then we would do something to make this ecological system a better world. We would clean up the nation. We would clean up the world. We would do something about the here and now. But the Bible says by and by, when the morning comes, it's going to be a beautiful city, or God's going to come down and rapture his people and take them up in the sky. Boom! Jesus was just a teacher of mine. And he said he was only a lesser teacher than today. He said, these things shall you do, and greater, because I go to the Father. When they came to take him away, he didn't even know why he was being taken away. When they came here one time to cause us trouble, I told you what would happen. He said, well, for what good work do you take me away? He said, for no good work, they said, but because you being a man, make yourself God. The 10th chapter of John. And he said, it is written, all of you are gods. He said, I'm no different than you. Everybody's a god. So Jesus is God. I am God. You are God. Out of the voice of Jesus himself, Jesus was a way shore to teach people how to live, to get their head out of the sand or out of the sky. He said, don't pray to go to heaven. And even Paul said, don't look up to go to heaven. He said, the righteous faith saith on this wise, the word, heaven, God, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. Don't say who will go up to heaven and bring him down, or who shall go into the deep and bring him up from the grave. But what saith it? The word is within thee. Heaven is on earth. That's the only heaven you'll find. God is here. That's the only God you'll know. I hope I elucidated, and thank you for the provoking question. We may disagree on some point, but you've elucidated some thoughts. I hope I elucidated, and thank you for the provoking question. We may disagree on some point, but you've elucidated some thought. I'm very happy that you've stimulated our discussion.
Now, Father.
Yes, sir.
Through your teachings, we have learned that Adam was Jesus.
Adam was who?
Jesus. First man Adam was quickened. Second man Adam.
We have said that Adam was Jesus, and because no one can work out their own sins except Adam. Adam fell, then indeed Jesus would have to do it, if you're going to take it as a reference. I only use the Bible to substantiate truth. I don't need the Bible. But don't confuse me with any of those characters. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. I have used that, you see. I can use a Western magazine to produce the truth. I can see between the lines in the Los Angeles Times and show you what is the truth. I use the Bible because people are addicted on the Bible. They're hung up on the Bible. They've got a monkey on their back. And it's not heroin or LSD. It's B-I-B-L-E. So if Adam fell from grace, then the Bible says that Adam was Jesus, and Jesus was Adam. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, was referring to Jesus. He was a quickening spirit. If somebody does wrong, it's the law of karma that whoever does wrong has to work it out. So if today you're unfriendly to some poor person, if you don't have any heart to help the poor, be careful. You're liable to be born in the starving part of sub-Sahara next time you're born. You better learn how to feel for those that are in prison. And you say, I've never been in trouble with the law. I had a man tell me that the other day. You help so many people out of jail. Well, I don't understand that. I've never had any trouble. And something in me said, the next time he's born, he'll be born a criminal and he'll spend all of his life in jail. You will walk where the other man walks vicariously. You will feel what the other man feels vicariously, or you'll actually be put in that kind of a situation. At least it's the most reasonable thing that I find to believe. If you're going to get involved with religion, reincarnation is the most reasonable thing to believe in. Otherwise, God is a dirty old man that ought to be raped. Yeah. Maybe that might straighten out the sky God. I don't know. And I don't know. That was a Freudian slip that some of you psychologists in my midst will have to analyze. Most sex, they say, is oriented in violence, so maybe there's something to that. Anyway, he ought to be locked up if we only live one lifetime. If we only live one lifetime. Take the Reverend Hall, the Lutheran pastor in Chicago who lost his daughter, who couldn't stand up for her until she died. And then he said she was such a tender woman, caring woman. Oh, I know somebody's going to say she was lesbian. I don't happen to be homosexual, but that doesn't mean anything whether a person's lesbian or homosexual. That's all people's sickness that judge people by outward appearance. But she, just because someone found out she was a lesbian, she was working in the parks, doing beautiful work with the flowers, and they fired her. I will stand up for lesbian rights, just like I stand up for Indian rights, just like I stand up for black rights. Anyone that's oppressed, a consenting adult has a right to do what they want to in the bedroom. Oh, you people. You act like you don't know. Now, let me tell you, the Kinsey Report said in 1948, half of the men had a homosexual experience. And I'm not speaking from experience, I'm speaking from your experience. So don't look around here like you're so sacred. You all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, this young woman cared for people, cared for animals, cared for plants, and she couldn't find a way to express herself, and she went around the wrong way, got involved in violence. But there's violence every day. Black people suffering. The black woman that was crippled next door to the SLA that was burned up, that was violent. Her dog's all killed, and she would have been killed if the police hadn't burst in to try to shoot them at a closer range, she would have died in the fire. And then they just throwed her out. That's in the paper. That's in the white press today. That's violent. Black children that are spit on in the streets. Black people that are kept in bad apartments and ghettos, that live in dungy nursing homes. The blacks that are being experimented on in prisons, Mexicans and poor whites. That's violent. And if America wants violence to stop, then the president and the governors ought to stop being violent. We're the only nation in the world that invented napalm and burned all those Vietnamese, little jellied, that just skins their very skin, their flesh off of their bones. We've been doing it for 15 years, and nobody got bothered by that violence. We killed all the people at Wounded Knee, and we murdered all the Indians in the name of the Lord when they were wanting to get some food. They were starving, and we said, we'll give you some blankets. They were in cold and they needed some blankets. And the United States Army said, we'll give you blankets if you'll give us your land. But first, they put smallpox on the blankets and all the Indians died the most horrible death. That was violence. 3 million blacks have been lynched and put at the bottom of every creek and river in America. That was violence. Martin Luther King was murdered. Today, the news said, now they say it, four prominent social Americans murdered Dr. King, paid $100,000. It's in today's news, and some of them were Uncle Tom Blacks. That was violence. Malcolm was shot down before his wife and his children. That was violence. President Kennedy was murdered, and all 16 of his witnesses, when they said it was 3 trillion to 1 that could happen. Nobody's even yet to this day had a thorough investigation. They found that Senator Kennedy was shot with 2 different bullets, and they stuck it on one man. That was murder. That was violence. You talk about the violence of the SLA. We breed that violence. We create that violence. There'll always be black militants and white militants. Now even the whites have called themselves the senior Panthers, white Panthers, older whites now, not just blacks, but older whites, because they don't have enough money to pay the rent. They don't have enough money to eat. They form what they call the senior Panthers. There'll be violence in America until people like Mr. Nixon pay their income tax instead of robbing the people out of $1.5 million. And Governor Reagan, who's paid no taxes in years, as long as they do violence to the poor, there'll be violence in the streets. I don't like it. I don't like violence at all. But until America stops dropping bombs on the colored people of the world, there'll be violence in our streets. My wife is an inspector of hospitals. She said her heart aches. She picked a little white lady up and picked a little black lady up and carried them out from dehydration in one of the fanciest hospitals in this state, where the owners are cared nothing about anything but sucking the people of their money. Didn't give them proper care, and bed sores were on them as big as a wash pan. Oh, it's in every nursing home. Senator Kennedy even said they're experimenting on old people without their consent, doing brain surgery, trying new drugs out on them. That's violence! The poor black people that the United States Department of Health in the South let them have gonorrhea and syphilis and wouldn't even give them penicillin and watched them for 30 years as they rotted away, and some of them lost their mind, and 177 of them died, and all those black children that were castrated. That's violence. So don't censor the SLA. They're just giving back to the establishment what they've been dishing out for 300 years. I don't even know what Reverend Hall said. That got me so stirred up. I was trying to make some point. It's hard to get people to think, though. We're hung up on religion. God, we're hung up on it. I'm glad to see Mayor Bradley, and you ought to encourage him. He's in asking an investigation now, after people raise enough fuss. Why didn't one policeman think about evacuating those people? Little children running right between crossfire. Dogs killed and murdered. I know Reverend Hall's daughter, but I don't know what Reverend Hall said. Reverend George Hall in Lincolnwood, Illinois. I know where he's at, but I don't know what he said. He'd left. Yeah, thank you, Wanda. She tried everything legal. She worked within the ballot. She was at the McGovern rallies and got maced. She went and protested and went against Mr. Wallace's racism, and they gassed her eyes and permanently damaged them with a mace gas. The police used it. Said she tried everything she could because the system would not change by talking. And so she was frustrated and she tried violence. And I'll tell you, there'll be more people do it. You say, oh, violence is so terribly wrong. Yes, but I remember one time Jesus talked and talked, and he said, turn the other cheek. But he walked in, the money changers had taken over the temple, and he only had a few disciples, and there was hardly anybody left. And he got the end of himself, and he quit talking. He got a whip in his hand, turned upside down the tables, whipped the backsides of the money changers, drove them out of the temple. Even Jesus Christ used violence. Violence, I'm against, but I hate to hear these tongue-in-cheek law enforcement people who kill little black children, shoot them in the back of the head. Or in Dallas a few weeks ago, a Mexican boy was arrested. They put him in the car, and the cop plays Russian roulette. Just plays Russian roulette to see how long it'll take. And that little boy had to sit there through three shots, and then finally a bullet went through his brain and smattered his brain, splattered them all over the windshield. I want to know, was that violence? In every city in America, some policeman has shot a child or beat up an older woman. We had a sister arrested just the other day. I got her out. Yes, yesterday I got her out. A young white woman. She happened to be in a rental car, and for some reason it wasn't listed as being on rental service. It was supposed to be in repair. The police took her out, grabbed her, and said, you look like one of those SLA. Called her every dirty, filthy name. Slut and everything else. Beat all over. Was that violence? I don't want nobody, I don't want no Governor Reagan talking to me about violence. He said, when you've seen one redwood tree, you've seen them all. Cut them down. I've heard his talk. I've heard how he feels about people. He said when they had this people in need program and poor people were standing in line and Mr. Hearst was trying to save his daughter and giving some poor people food that needed it, he said it's too bad that there isn't botulism. Botulism kills people in the worst way. They grimace, they roll over, they get into a knot, and it takes them hours to die. And Governor Reagan said it's too bad all those people that took the food didn't get botulism. I say when they arrest Mr. Reagan, then I'm going to get concerned about the Black Panthers or the SLA. But until these government leaders stop their violence, I don't care what the others do. What about the good saintly people that was found over my gas tank putting sugar in it with their Bible under their hand? Every time I've been shot, the woman that was sitting down here on the row that stabbed Brother Brown, if I hadn't had power, paranormal, extra-dimensional power, he would have been dead. She was for the Bible. She stood up and said, oh, I'm not going to hear any more of this. And we said, sister, we let her talk for 15 minutes, calling me everything in the world. We let her talk. They went down then and said, you've had your say. Will you go? She took out an ice pick and stabbed. And I'll bet you the one that put that poison needle goes to church tomorrow morning and says, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I've had enough of religious violence. Poor little children that were killed in Alabama. It's what caused Angela Davis to become a communist. I'm not a communist, but I can understand why. Her best friends were blown up in a Baptist Sunday school. by four Baptist elders and their minister that came over from the white Baptist church, and everyone knew who they were in the town, and to this day they've never been arrested. They blew up to smithereens four little black children. I tell you, when they stop this violence that's going on in the pulpits and these dirty honky-tonky preachers and these jacklays, when they get a hold of them, then I will do something about the violence in the black liberation movement. I may not have changed your mind a bit, but at least I've spoken. Violence. Germany started the war. Hitler propagated the war. Hitler inspired all the mess that broke out in World War II. Germans were living on the East Coast. Not one German was arrested. Not one German was taken to concentration camps. Yet the Japanese, who fought as a whole regiment, but they couldn't fight in the Pacific, they fought in the Atlantic. And when they came home, I know one case, to see his mother who was dying of cancer. They didn't even give her an aspirin tablet for 6 months, living in the desert in a concentration camp, and they wouldn't let the son see his mother just because she was yellow. They never arrested one German or Italian. We were at war with Mussolini and Hitler just as much as we were at war with Tojo. But the Japanese, why? Because of the color of their skin. When people in this country stop doing violence in the name of the law, then we will talk to those out there in the streets. And by the way, you better go back and read the book on the shelf about Yeats that says the choice, and where you'll see that the government gave approval for the annihilation, genocide to the entire black, Indian, and Oriental population. When we face a depression, the people that are the most unemployed, the greatest social problems, they're the ones that are going to go. Say, it'll never happen to me. Oh, get off of it. The Jews, capos that sold out the Jews, they reserved the worst fate for them. They castrated them, made them eat their own gonads. If they didn't kill them, they sent them on to Israel so that the Haganah would kill them. All those Jews that worked so faithfully to sell out their brothers and sisters. And I got some Uncle Toms and Aunt Janes in here. Say, I'm all right. The man likes me, you good house nigger. You just so good. You're just such a good house nigger. Willie Brown said in the paper today, said when blacks, I saw it in the paper today, the Sentinel, said we blacks are going to have to recognize that we're still niggers. Well, I know what kind of a nigger I am. I'm a field nigger. I'm not up trying to kiss up to the master of the house, but we still got a lot of them. They're downtown the mayor's office. Some of them even mayors. Some of them are even senators and congressmen. They're going around Uncle Tommen saying just exactly what the man wants them to say. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. Nobody trusts a fink. Nobody trusts a fink. When they get through with a fink, they blow them up. Sin Q was a fink. It's in every newspaper. He worked for this police department and the state attorney generals. It's all documented. He was arrested and let go so many times, the rest of us would have been hung. It's on record. He was a fink. But believe me, they wanted to be awfully sure he was burned up over there on Compton Avenue. When they got through with him, they burned him up. So go on, you Uncle Toms and Aunt Janes. You got to live with your own cowardice. You got to live with the terrible feeling of selling out your brothers and sisters, and you're going to get the same thing that all the rest of us get. Nobody that's a racist is going to think one bit more of you for selling out. In fact, they hate your guts deep inside. What do I think of Medgar Evers? I think Medgar Evers is a house nigger. Charles Edwards, yeah, Edwards. I don't care. I'm going to tell you, if it's black sellout or white sellout, I'm going to call a sellout. That's what he is. I agree with Mayor Hatcher in today's paper in the Sentinel. I tried to read all the paper just before I came in. I read every page in both the Dispatch, who carries my sermon free, Herald Dispatch, and I read the Sentinel. And Mayor Hatcher of Gary said, let's not be looking for Ted Kennedy to do anything for us. Said, because just a few days ago, he was kissing up and hugging up to Governor Wallace. And he said, anybody that can kiss up to a man that has not appointed one black to a job, that stood with a gun and wouldn't let a black student in a college, he said, that person that would kiss up to such a person will never help the black nation. And I agree with him 100%. That's what Mayor Hatcher of Gary, Indiana, the black mayor of Gary, Indiana, said. Today's paper, read it for yourself. And I agree with him. I don't like people that kiss up to tonky wonkies. Thank you, sister, for that quick pronouncement. Anyone else have a thought? We'll quit it very quickly now.
Yes, Father. First, I want to say, I worked for Ronald Reagan. I cooked for him. He told me that the Nobel Prize should have been given to something else instead of Martin Luther King. His wife fired me because I wouldn't tell her why, what business I was going to do when I got off the same day that they had this big dinner for Goldwater. She wanted to know what was I going to do. Why are you going to leave so early? I said, well, it's little personal things I have to do. She said, what's so personal you can't tell me? I'm a woman, you're a woman. I said, simply because it's personal. She came back and told me if I couldn't tell her, we'd call it quits. She thought because she was paying me $125 a week that I wasn't.
She thought you were to be her slave, I guess. Well, yes. She said she worked for Governor Reagan. He didn't think the Nobel Peace Prize should be given to Martin Luther King. Yeah, and I wonder how much he knows about his murder. Go on. I have black people that stop me in the aisle and say, I come in here. We had some old Aunt Jane come in from our denomination, the Disciples of Christ. She come wandering around, said, there's no picture of Mary or Jesus. Well, we've got Harriet Tubman, and we've got all those blacks that were slain for civil rights. And we've got Frederick Douglass and John Brown and Malcolm and Martin. That's our Jesus's, and if you don't like it, you can lump it. Jesus said greater than he would come after him. We'll naturally have... I bet some black people, they deserve what they get. The Sentinel today, the black paper said that black people stood there and laughed like they were watching a Flip Wilson show. Laughed while those people were being shot up. Black people stood around. Little children would get through the lines and they wouldn't do anything. They'd stomp over children. Black people, our brothers and sisters, would stomp over our own children and endanger their lives and wouldn't even grab them to get them out of the way. We got a lot of black people that don't know which ends up. When the flames shot up, they clapped their hands. With all the black maniacs and all the whites that have proven that they don't care, with the exception of you precious ones that have come in here, you that stand for integration, you are blessed in the eyes of truth, because so many whites are so full of prejudice. But we've got so many blacks that have no feeling of camaraderie because of religion again. We don't teach. We're not taught we're going to have to look after each other, or we're going to be exterminated like the Indians, or taken away like the Japanese. We're taught by some old jackleg. He'll be telling you Jesus is coming soon tomorrow morning, fatter than an old walrus. He'll have a Cadillac out there. I don't own a car. And this is a used suit. Usually I wear used robes, and I've never bought a pair of new shoes in my life. But some old walrus jackleg tomorrow will say, don't worry, the Lord is coming. Gabriel's going to blow his horn. He's going to swing low and take his children home. You ought to stand up and say, if he's going to take his children home, why do you have to have that Cadillac out there? Black people are going to have to get rid of the white man's religion. Then they'll get freedom. And the white man's going to have to get rid of it too, because he's a nigger also. The first major Bible publication was done by the Rockefellers and DuPonts in a foundation together. Now, I wonder why they would print a Bible to keep poor whites and black niggers slaves. Every time you see a religious program, every time you see Billy Graham, he's always saying nothing, getting up and saying nothing, apologizing for Nixon. Over in Africa, he said they ought to castrate in the Union of South Africa, where black people cannot even come out of their house at 6 o'clock. He preached and he said, castrate the people if they're not doing right. Don't tell me he didn't say it. It was in every one of your newspapers. But you look under his TV and you see contribution from Ford, contribution from DuPont, contribution from Mellons, contribution from Rockefeller. The rich man knows a way to keep us asleep. Give us a little heroin, and if you can't get us to take heroin or booze, give us a Bible. We'll go around with our Bible just like a monkey on the back, just praying, talk in tongues and sing and shout, and the houses rot around us. As I said, down on Broadway, I went down that street the other day, and I went 10 blocks, and I saw 11 missionary Baptist churches, not counting the other kind. And I saw 10 churches of God in Christ, and I saw a nice-looking liquor store and several nice-looking funeral parlors, and everything else looked like it had gone to hell. We're going to have to wake up. And most people don't want to wake up. I'll meet him in the aisle and I'll say, bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you. And the Lord in the original means owner of slaves. And people still say, Lord bless you, Father. Lord bless you, Pastor. I'd like to, I tell you, it's a good thing that I keep my violence deep down in my stomach, because I'd just like to slap some of their mouths. I've taught it for weeks and months and years. I've poured out my heart. They've shot me down. They've poisoned me. They've run over me with a truck. And some of you don't want to learn the truth. You don't want to learn the truth. I'm surprised somebody hadn't walked out yet. We don't have that many guests. Usually by this time, half of the guests walk out. Not because I'm not telling the truth. Say, well, I knew someone was upset because I felt like slapping someone in the mouth. If there's a man here who lied on my black minister and took me to court, he's sitting right in this congregation, Brother Bikeman, getting ready to send him over to the promised land so we'll have a place. Our people won't have to go to concentration camps. I forgave him. And all the people tore my clothes off of me in that courtroom because I was defending Brother Imes. I forgave Charlie Touche, who's the manager of our buses, when he went to the FBI and lied and said I was a communist. Yes. So don't talk about my violence. I haven't got very much of it compared to you. I've never slapped my wife. What about you? Peace. I've been married to one woman for 26 years and I've never touched her. All you saints get up and tell me the same. Make me tired.
Father, every 25 minutes on the news since Count Basie died, they've been saying they've been saying that the president had awarded him a peace medal. I felt we all...
And I want to tell you about Duke Ellington. I was a switchboard operator in Bloomington, Indiana, at the University of Indiana. And I heard him. I would tune in some of these great American celebrities. I'd put my, I'd listen. And never, no way you can know people like you could as being a switchboard operator. I listened to Duke Ellington. He talked to his companion. He talked to people that worked for him like they were dogs. No wonder he's so popular with the establishment and the president, because he's an Uncle Tom sellout. He talked like a miserable dog. I heard him. Don't tell me. I heard him with my own ears. That was 20 years ago. He treated everyone that worked for him like a dog. He got me so angry on the phone that I wanted to tell him. I wanted to say, man, these are human beings you're talking to. They're not some slave. But he cussed them out. And I mean words that you wouldn't want me to say. Duke Ellington. I'm not going to shed a tear that he's gone.
He was only free. He did all of that, but he wasn't free until he was 76 years old.
He what?
He wasn't free until he was 76 years old. A freedom medal the president had to give him before he was free.
75.
That's what I want to know about it. 75. They said he was 79 yesterday when he died.
Whatever he was, I never would listen to a record after I sit on that switchboard, and I wouldn't listen to him. Meanest man I ever knew. I had the same experience with a lot of our entertainers. Frank Sinatra, what an evil man. I heard him, oh, and I heard Sammy Davis. I don't want no part of him. You just be a little old switchboard operator. That was before. I wouldn't do that now, but that was when I was a child. And I had to work. I was born poor, and I had to work my way up. And the other operators were doing it, and they'd say, listen. So I'd switch in and listen. Boy, what you learn. What you learn, what you learn. Heard Wendell Willkie. They said he was a great man. Ah, great man. He talked to him, talked to his wife like she was a common dog. A lot of these folk that the people, anybody that they've given peace medals to in the White House, honey, you're going to know that they really ought to be given a sellout medal. One more question.
Father, 3 weeks ago we were on our way home.
Yes.
And it was a green snake crossed our trail.
A green snake?
A green snake with its head up in its tail. And one of the sisters got frightened. And I says, honey, my father says, nothing will harm his children. I said, Almighty God, Jim. I said, don't get afraid, because he is with us.
Yes.
Because all the time, and I don't doubt it, I believe everything he said, because I know it's true. And I know if I was.
I don't know why anybody be, I don't want to get into a testimony, sweeter, everyone will. I don't know why anybody be afraid of snakes when they got all these human beings, two-legged snakes running around. When they brought that snake in here the other day, that rattler brought him in here and dropped it and was biting, hissing mad. All the people can tell you in Redwood Valley, I've got that snake tamed. It won't kill anything anymore because I don't like killing. I don't even kill anything to eat. And that snake eats egg right out of my hand. He didn't like it. He fussed and hissed and... And I said, you cut that out. And I'd spank his little belly. And now he just crawls around. He's 5.5 foot long. He crawls around, lays on my shoulder. And any place people can handle him, anyone can touch him now. Why would you worry about a little old green snake when you got all these white two-legged devils running loose? And a whole lot of black ones, too. A whole lot of brown ones. Don't anyone else stand. Only the ones on the floor there. All right. The FBI was what?
Right at me. Right on me.
Yeah, the shooting was right on you, I know.
And they asked me, they would give me some money if I would tell them I know anything about the situation.
They give you some money?
I told him, no, I didn't want the money. In fact, the business, I didn't know anything about it. And so he said to me, he turned around, he's about 6'2". He said, who is that on that picture? I said, it's my pastor. That's who it is. And he went out the door.
They wanted to know who made you think. Probably I'll get a visitor. They want to know who that picture was. She said when they said it was, she said it was her pastor, they jumped back and went out the door. That's good. I don't blame them. They don't realize it. But I notice they're put out there without proper protection. Police are put out there without proper protection. There's all kinds of ways they could protect police. One day the police are going to wake up that the rich are using them just like they're using us. Maybe some of them won't wake up till they're almost too late. Yes, Sister Green. Just a moment. That's the last question on the floor. How were you saying, my precious?
And to these meeting, Bert Bartell, that
little, you're another one of those intelligent people. You're talking too fast.
And Tuesday evening's meeting, you know, Bert Bartell, he comes on at 5:30 after the 5 o'clock.
Slow.
Tuesday evening, after the 5 o'clock news, Bert Bartell, the commentator.
Commentator, yes.
He came on and he was asking everybody that was listening to his voice to write to congressmen and the senators and ask what two important meetings they had last week, close those without any reporters on what they were planning to do with everybody's lives, including his. And he said to write them and the whatever answer they send back, send it to him, because he wanted to find out himself what are these closed those meetings for.
Well, that's interesting. I don't recall what the incident he might be relating to. I know there are many closed door meetings. I know that each head of the corporate structure have bomb shelters 100 feet deep, or jet planes that will take them to such refuges as places, sanctuaries, as where we have our mission station in South America. Rockefeller has a place just across from us, in the nation right across from ours. They're all looking after themselves. You can bet your life on that.
They're all looking after themselves. Plans of what to do with the people that was including him.
Yeah, well,
the plan they got.
The
to
plan is that they'll destroy the nation with this kind of a thing that we're doing, this racist, imperialist type of situation that we have, where the rich are trying to get richer and they're keeping the poor poor. We prove it all over the world. We milk every nation of its minerals, its resources, and that kind of thing is going to bring us on a collision course with China, Soviet Union, this mess in Israel. School gets some hostages and they're killed, and then the Israelis go back and shoot refugee camps. All kinds of children have been shot 4 or 5 times. This kind of madness. The leaders could do something about this if they wanted to, but they don't want to. They want the oil to keep on flowing. They want to have their bases. They don't care anything about people. They don't care one thing about the ordinary man in the street. Not one thing. And in the age of cybernetics and computers, it may be well that they won't need 1/10 of the population to run the country. Some writers are saying, I gave a list of books last night, some writers are saying that they're going to plan sterilization for all people that are of the poor or middle class, because they don't need the people anymore. Only trying to give, there are some scientists who say, Dr. Kahn, there are medical preservatives, to use my word, that would give some longevity, that would keep cell life for 200 years, but it will never be made available to the poor. Only the rich know about it. Why, if they're going to be around, I don't care anyway. I don't want to be around with them. It's all right. Anyone had any questions that you didn't get answered, perhaps we can do it another day, tomorrow or someday this week. My feeling is that not very many people thinking. But on the one hand, Hal Perry, who owned the furniture store in Santa Rosa, he never said a word about his daughter's goodness until she died. Then his brother Her brother stepped out and said, I'm going to take her place. And the father said she was a good girl. Reverend Hall wouldn't stand up for his daughter until she died, who was in that SLA. And I have disapproved of their methods. Killing Dr. Foster was a plan of the police provocateurs. I believe Sin Q was an agent. But even though the police meant it to start a race war, they thought they'd whip up a race war by putting a black agent in charge of it. It hasn't worked out for them. Every one of the deceased relatives have stood up and said they were going to take the place and make... and said they were going to take the place and make their lives of their children live on. Something's happening. You don't burn up six people without somebody getting stirred. But you've got to do it within the system. Because every time they've caught someone recommending violence, 9 times out of 10, they found out they were being paid by a police department. In Berkeley, the ones that were stirring up violence, wanting them to shoot the police, was a police agent. They showed a picture. One of the young persons recognized him because he'd been a police officer himself. Said, why, that fellow works for the police. He's in the internal security. They're trying to get violence started so that the people will get upset with the mention of change, social change or revolution, that the people won't want to hear the word. But all they tried to do, SLA has moved us a little closer to change. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. You just never know, do you? And I'm sure they tried hard to cause a lot of stirrup. The zebra killing. They tried hard to whip that into a race war. They haven't got it done yet. And it's amazing because most of our black folk are talking about pie in the sky. They don't know anything about freedom whatsoever. But one hopeful sign is you can't get the young people into church. They won't go to church. They come here because we have senior citizen homes, children's homes, college education. We have legal services. We work for the political prisoners.